Well, it's more than just shotgun, too. You know, a lot of the counties around Western New York can also use rifle. Any legal hunting implement, pretty much for most counties, with the exception of Niagara and Erie counties, because those are non-rifle counties. But you can still use your shotgun. You can use a handgun. You can still use crossbow or bow if you want to, because those are legal hunting implements. And this is an exciting time because this is big game season for the southern zone, the regular season. So you're going to have upwards of 500,000 hunters that are going to be out there pursuing big game. So that would include both white-tailed deer and black bear.
Wow, 500,000 hunters?
Across New York State, yes.
Wow. You know, and that just begs to bring up the whole issue that you know what I'm going to bring up, and that's hunting safety. Every year we're going to hear those, you know, the stories will start Saturday, Sunday, Monday of the first incidents. You know, just talk about that a little bit. What goes into the safety as this 500,000 folks head out to the woods?
Sure. Well, to put it into perspective, I mean, safety is the number one consideration as far as heading out there into the woods for the opening day of the regular season. And, of course, you always want to point your gun in a safe direction at all times. You know, don't take your safety off until you've properly identified that target. Make sure you once you've identified that target, look beyond your target as well. You know, look for things like fluorescent orange or brightly visible colors to make sure that something isn't out there. And you can be doing that while you're sitting there and you're in the woods or up your tree stand to make sure there isn't a hunter near you. And, you know, when you look at it from the standpoint of safety overall, hunting really is a pretty safe sport. And last year was the least amount of accidents that they've ever had as far as hunting in New York State. And that's a tribute to the Hunter Safety Education Program that they have here in New York. And the safest group of hunters is the youngest group of hunters, the ones that have most recently passed the hunter safety classes and are hunting with adults, mentors that are passing along that tradition.
Bill, what is your reaction when you hear about those stories that I alluded to that we're going to see cross the wires and, you know, on the radio and TV news of hunting incidents and accidents that go wrong? What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think the big thing is that just about every single one of those accidents are preventable. A lot of accidents are self-inflicted. If somebody doesn't abide by the rules, you could have an accident as a result of that. You know, hunting is from sunrise to sunset, and it's important to abide by those rules and make sure you take every necessary safety precaution. You know, when an accident does happen, if you look at all the finite details on why it occurred, you know, more often than not, that could have been prevented if somebody would have used a little common sense or just followed the basic safety premises.
You know, it's almost like driving a car, Bill. I hate to, you know, make that analogy, but most automobile accidents could have been prevented and are caused by someone doing something wrong. Very few are caused by, you know, situations that are outside of our control. Same thing.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, you make an analogy with a vehicle accident. There's a heck of a lot more vehicle accidents than there are hunting accidents, which thankfully, when somebody does have an accident, that's news because there aren't a lot of them out there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, man bites dog instead of dog bites man. So let's talk about the benefits, though. Clearly, hunting season is in place, you know, for a reason. I mean, having that take out of wilderness, so to speak, from a layman's standpoint, it is an important, it's a useful process in time of year, right?
Well, probably the biggest thing is that you're assisting the DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, with managing big game populations. It's recognized that as the number one form of helping to control the deer numbers here in New York State. And wildlife biologists with that agency are on top of trying to keep track of all the numbers, which is important for people to actually call in and report their harvest to the state. As of last year, roughly 50% of people that had taken a deer actually called it in and reported it. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of doing that, because it's allowing the wildlife biologist to do their job, to have an accurate count of exactly how many deer are harvested, so they can make their projections for anything else they need to do, like the antlerless deer management permits. You know, they base their numbers each year on what the take was the previous year based on the various wildlife management units.
So it's like Christmas Day, right? I mean, for a hunter, opening day is I just watch all of the people around me that are hunters, and I know a lot of them. I mean, they treat it almost like it's a non-religious type of holiday.
Yeah, you could say that. You know, I've been hunting for more than 50 years, and back many years ago, it used to open on a Monday, and I can remember a lot of my friends were going, and you could just about close down some schools, especially as you get further down into the southern tier where hunting is a religion, so to speak. So, you know, from that standpoint, it is an exciting time. It's an exciting time for family and friends. You know, I'm going to be able to take my daughter hunting for the first time this year, and I'm excited to be able to do that. The fact that she wants to be part of this camaraderie. I'm going to be going with my dad. My dad is just turning 87 here next month. I got two brothers, two nephews, and we're going to go down there and do our best hunting, but it's all part about the experience, about being out there in the woods and having some quality time together.
You know, you just mentioned your daughter, and that's terrific. That's a family moment, and all of the other family. But I'm just noting your daughter, because I was just speaking with another hunting mom the other day, and she was talking about how her daughter, who's a teenager, is going to be going hunting with her husband, you know, the girl's father. And, you know, really, it's not just a guy thing anymore. It used to be, maybe.
No. It isn't, and you're seeing probably the biggest growth area in hunting and the shooting sports, and even with sport fishing, is the women aspect. The more and more ladies are getting out there. There's groups that focus just on the ladies. Out at the North Forest Rod and Gun Club here in Lockport, they have a ladies shoot and hoot program, and once a month they get together and they're involved with the shooting sports. They learn about hunting, they learn about the outdoors, and it's great to see them involved, because they need to be part of that. Nature is an important part of what we need as far as growing up. It has medicinal factors, you know, it helps relax us, and we need to have a closer connection with nature.
Bill, I know you're not the DEC, but I know you know a lot about hunting. What are some of the key regulations, if you will, or parameters that you folks that are going to be heading out on opening day and thereafter need to be aware of?
Well, just the emphasis on safety, I think, is number one. You know, making sure you properly identify your target, treat your firearm as if it's loaded, even if you know it's not. Treat it as if it's loaded and never point it at someone else. Read the regulations book. There's a lot of regulations out there that people might not realize is unlawful, like just leaning your gun up against your vehicle. That's a violation. Making sure that you fill out your game tag after you actually connect with a deer or bear, and you know, fill it out. You don't have to attach it until you get back to your vehicle, but make sure it's filled out properly and following the rules. All this is outlined in your game syllabus, and it's important to pay attention to those sorts of things. Understand what those regulations are, because you can't claim that you just didn't know it. You know, that's part of being a hunter, making sure that you ethically follow the rules and you have the proper behavior, because you're representing an entire group. You're representing all hunters, and you're under the microscope of the general public, people that may be accepting of hunting, but they don't know enough about it. You know, make sure you put yourself in a positive light.
You know, it's funny you say that, you know, that, you know, one bad hunter, I'm a big boater, you know, and one bad boater can make all of us responsible boaters look bad. And one or two or a handful of bad hunters can do the same for the sport of hunting. And I feel bad about that. And it sounds like you would concur. You know, what are the limits, Bill, if you know? And, you know, you're talking about big game, you're talking about deer and bear. What are the limits that hunters need to know or should know?
Well, I would say it would be based on whatever license that you have. You know,
okay,
you have your traditional big game regular license, so you're entitled to take a deer with that. Then you can apply for, you should have applied for, deer management permits that allow you to take additional antlerless deer. And it's based on wildlife management units. Now, myself, I have four different antlerless permits for different units across the state, depending on where I'm going to be hunting, whether it's Niagara County to the east of Niagara County, down in the southern tier in Steuben County, where we go for our opening weekend. So it really depends on
okay,
what kind of licenses or tags that you have.
What about a buck? What about a buck? What do you have to...
You're allowed to take a buck with your regular license, your regular big game license.
Okay, and I interrupted. You wanted to make a point there. Go ahead.
Yes. When we were talking about possible violations out there in the field, you know, there is a number that you can call. You can remain anonymous. If you see somebody breaking the law, you know, get as much information as you can about that individual and report it. I believe the number is 844 DECECOS, and you can call that number and report any violations that you might experience while you're out there in the woods. You know, it's important to protect these natural resources, because somebody out there that might take more deer than what they're supposed to, you know, that's could be a deer that you or your son or daughter could have taken, and you know, you just kind of protect them among our ranks.
All right, and finally, you know, you mentioned the traditions, you know, the family traditions on, you know, in your family, the personal side of it. What are some of the key things, you know, either the day before or the day of opening day that you find? I mean, I know a lot of people like meet up at breakfast places early on. I mean, what are some things that come to mind for you?
Well, for us, I mean, we're not camping out in the woods. We've gotten away from, and my dad used to take a travel trailer down, and we would camp out on the side of the hill, and we would be there for opening week, especially if Thanksgiving fell during opening week. I mean, that was our tradition back then. We've gotten a little bit older, so we stay in a hotel down there. We don't have a camp, but, you know, once we're up on the hill, we bring along all our camping gear as far as cooking. We hunt hard all morning and then come back in and cook up some hot soup, make some sandwiches, and you know, we're constantly comparing notes and, you know, what's going on with the deer movement, but we're also, you know, sharing that camaraderie together. Once it comes time to dinner time, we go back and take a nice hot shower and pick a restaurant, go out and have dinner, and you know, and then we're right back at it the next day. So, you know, it's the whole experience. And, you know, I'm going to be out there sharing all I can about deer and bear as I hunt with my daughter tomorrow. And I'm excited by that because I want her to learn more about the outdoors. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to be around. And as part of that, I have a 20-gauge shotgun that my grandfather handed down to me, and I took my first deer with when I was 16. And I'm going to be passing that on to my daughter. So that's going to be hers for hunting. And again, it's another tradition that's passed down through the years.